Hi, this is Justin Halliday, the creator of Hero Kids, and you're listening to The Family Gamers.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode number 21, which means that this podcast is now old enough to drink.
But it wouldn't drink, because it's a podcast.
I suppose that's true. But, you know, if it could drink, then maybe it would.
It's an adult podcast now, instead of a kid podcast.
Yeah, I mean... Those preteen tween years were a little rough. Podcast had an attitude for a while. Thankfully, we've gotten matured. Over that. Yeah. So now that our podcast is mature, we will carry on. No?
I'm not sure what sort of accent that was. Sort of.
I have no idea.
Be,
I'm just.
But it was funny.
I'm just being me. So anyway, hello everybody. I am your host Andrew.
I'm Anitra.
And we are here, and we are pretty excited. We are going to have a free-form podcast this week, because nothing really dramatic or exciting happened.
But we have just enough content that we don't want to pick a real topic and talk about it for too long.
Yep, and we're trying to get back to Mondays.
Yeah, that'll be Mondays, nice.
So that's the thing. Yeah. So we are here. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about. A lot of stuff that we played, some stuff that I picked up at PAX, and well, actually, mostly stuff I picked up at PAX,
mostly.
I guess. That we will talk about. Some of it is very kid-friendly. Some of it is less kid-friendly. Some of it, like Bring Your Own Book, which we'll talk about soon, would be pretty hilarious.
Is everyone to play with friendly?
Kids. So yeah, let's. I guess just pretty much get right into it.
Yeah.
So we had our bi-weekly yes. game night, and we pulled out a bunch of games that we had not played before in a group.
Right.
So the first one I'm going to talk about, I had. Downloaded this game on iOS a long time ago.
Long time.
And it was just kind of sitting on my iPad. It's a game called Ascension. So Ascension was made by this guy named Justin Gary, and he had also made a game that we've talked about before on the show called Soulforge, Soulforge, which is a digital game that is very similar to Ascension, but you could never play it as an actual card game because of it just does certain like cards level up and stuff. It would be basically impossible to track in a real
Soulforge is a neat game, and it's a neat take on something that is presented as a card game, but you really can only effectively do with a computer.
Right.
It fits in that niche very well.
Mm-hmm. So at PAX, I was given by a friend of mine a copy of one of the standalone Ascension expansions, and we figured that we should probably play it. So it's
the Ascension game with some tweaks, and you can play it together with the standard Ascension deck if you want to, but you don't have to.
Right. And it turns out there's a lot of expansions to this game.
Yes, there are.
So,
as I found out when I was trying to look up the rules.
So I started to play it on iOS to figure out how to play it so that when we sat down to play, we weren't completely clueless.
We were mostly clueless.
Yeah. This is a game, it's a lot like a Dominion or a Quarriors type card drafting game where everybody starts out with the same set of nine cards?
And, it depends on whether you're playing the expansion or the core game.
Well, maybe.
How many
also a lot like Dominion.
Yeah.
This is a game that I think that pretty much there's nothing in it that from a content perspective that would be inappropriate for kids, but you definitely need to be able to read.
There's a lot of reading and a lot of strategy, and it will get very frustrating very quickly for a kid if they can't get into scoring position, for lack of a better term.
I
can say it was very frustrating for me. I didn't pick up the strategy until I was about halfway through the game,
mm-hmm.
At which point I was so far behind that I was never going to catch up.
Well,
and I did better than I thought I would, but in the future I'll play it'll be fine.
But that's true with every game. The first couple times you play anything, even as an adult, you really have no idea what the heck you're doing.
Sure, but it's one of those where this is one of those games where the gap can be so wide so quickly that I could see it being very frustrating for a lot of kids.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it could be a good game that would be useful for teaching children how to lose gracefully.
I suppose.
By reinforcing that the point total is not the point, but actually playing the game is the point, that kind of thing. But I rather enjoyed it. It's a fun little game, and it's not like a lot of deck builders where you really are only playing against yourself and just trying to be the most efficient self at the table.
Sure, yeah.
There's a little bit of actual... there's some common cards that... you know, you're basically racing against the other player to get the better card. So
yes,
I did like that a bit. With all the expansions that are out there, I'm gonna wager a guess that the game's probably relatively inexpensive at this point. But I would say that if you, I can think of some friends that we have that have older kids, 12 to 15 range.
Yeah.
That this would be very perfect for. It is a fantasy realm game, so there's a little bit of reference to demons and stuff like that. It's nothing that is obsessively talking about the netherworld or anything like that. It's just this enemy is the demon of blah blah blah, and that's about it. There are monsters that you can kill, and there is magic that you can use to summon things. So. From a content perspective, if that's something that you're sensitive to, just be aware that that's in there. But I thought it was a pretty okay game.
Yeah, it was fine. Yep. Price wise, I was just looking it up. Most of the versions, expansions, whatever, they tend to range between $30 and $40.
Okay, so not super cheap, but not
super expensive.
So.
I mean, given the size of the box and the amount of stuff that was in there, I would say $40 would be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Not cheap, but
those are
not
some
too bad.
Really well made boxes. They were really thick. But anyway, all right. What else did we play?
We played Bring Your Own Book.
Yeah, this is a game that I think pretty. I don't remember who found it first. Did I find it first, or did you find it first?
I'm not sure. It's published by one of our favorites.
It's published by
GameRight.
But pretty much the moment that we started, that we saw this game, we decided that we needed to own it.
I knew I needed to own this
She
game.
Knew. She knew. So tell me about Bring Your Own Book.
And it was hilarious. We talked a little bit about the concept behind the game.
But now we've actually played it. So walk me through how this worked out.
It's on one level, it's sort of your standard party game, apples to apples sort of format. You have one person who's picking the card, reading it out, and then is judging the responses.
Mm-hmm.
The difference on this one is instead of having a pool of cards or something to pick from to give your response, you're looking in the book that you have in your hands.
Right, and the book that you have in your hands is just...
Can be any
your
book.
Own book. It's not a book that came with the game or anything.
It was hilarious. We played with five of us. We had a couple of classic fiction books, one of which was a kid's book.
Mm-hmm. There was a young adult book in there.
There was a YA book. There was a kid's historical fiction book.
Mm-hmm.
And a high fantasy and a cookbook.
And you had a cookbook, and I had Arnold Schwarzenegger's Guide to Modern Guide to Bodybuilding, or Guide to Modern Bodybuilding, or whatever it was, which turned out to win some rounds and be highly hilarious.
It was hilarious.
It was so funny. The last line from a wistful romance novel, Separation or something like that. I think my answer was something like, put your hands on your thighs or some weird... I don't know. It just...
Yeah.
Funny. It was funny. It was a... I expected it to be funny. I don't know that I expected it to be funny in that way and as funny as it was.
Yeah, it was great. It was a little bit more challenging than I expected. One thing they do to keep it fresh in the rules and keep you from getting frustrated that maybe you're just not doing well with the book you got, is that once somebody has gotten a certain number of wins, you cycle the books.
Yeah, so everybody
ends up with a new book.
We had one person that continually abstained when they had the Guide to Modern Bodybuilding.
Yes.
He refused to...
I don't blame him too much.
Oh, come on. That book was hysterical.
It was funny, though. I mean, we came up with, as a title of a Hitchcock thriller, it was The Muscles of the Arms.
So that, and that game is super cheap. That game, I think I bought for $15 or
yeah, I was
going like
to say
that.
10 to 15.
It's very inexpensive. I mean, it's basically just a stack of cards.
Yeah.
So that is a game that... I think that game would be really fun to play with kids and with kids' books. I mean, they couldn't be, you know, like board books, but
I think if you're at the point where your kids are doing at least sort of
chapter
the easy chapter books, yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
you're
I
good
think, it, I think it could be pretty entertaining.
You can also switch it up by determining how cutthroat you want to be about the timing and how quickly people can find their responses.
Right, so the way Bring Your Own Book handles this is the first person to settle on what their answer is going to be flips a timer that has a minute on it.
Yeah.
And so everybody gets another minute to
right.
determine what
they want.
You can
make it more cutthroat by saying, you always have a minute.
That's horrible.
Or you can make it, if you were playing with young kids, you could make it less cutthroat and just be, you know, just wing it and say a reasonable amount of right. time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was Bring Your Own Book. Another really fun game.
Yeah. We had a great time with that game.
We laughed a lot.
I cannot wait to play that game again.
Mm.
It definitely excellent party filler type game. We played Pirates again.
We did. We played Pirates, and this time we played with five people?
Four people.
Because
that's all it's set up for. Yeah.
Something. And yeah, even as a game with four adults who can strategize, it still remained fun. It did get a little frustrating because we ended up just pulling heavy pies the whole time. And
Pirates definitely made me think quite a bit of Munchkin, but less frustrating than Munchkin because you are stealing from each other, but you can't dominate. You can't steal all of somebody's rats and just go, like, every turn, go get more stuff.
Right. I mean, you could collude and really ruin someone's night.
Yeah, you could. But you can't get totally overpowered in this game, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's well-balanced.
And it's, I mean, it's just funny. It's kind of a...
The theme is cute and funny,
fun. Yeah,
and
fun.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kickstarter raised the money they needed.
Woohoo!
So it's
yeah, made it, like, day before...
The day before it
was scheduled to end, it actually made it, so that was awesome.
And you know what? Since this sounds like we're going to end up with two copies of the game, we'll be able to play with more than four players.
That is
which
true.
Which will also be good.
Yeah, I guess there's really no reason why you wouldn't be able to mix those decks.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kickstarter.
Yes.
Two things. Number
our
one.
Our favorite game is on Kickstarter.
Campaign Trail is, in fact, on Kickstarter. I think that it had raised something around 27,000 out of 40,000 last time I checked. Something along those lines.
So as of right now, they're about three quarters of the way to their goal. They've raised 27,000 out of 40,000.
That's what I said.
Yep.
So that's good. That's I hope that works out. I mean, it's like a 30-day campaign. It's only been live for like 5 days or something like
yep,
that.
Yep. Exactly. So I think
maybe
they'll
I
make
look
it
at that
time.
Website too much.
You think?
So that's awesome. Also.
Your favorite game that you love to talk... Well, your favorite game besides Campaign
Well, that's
Trail
not Kickstarter.
That you, yes, it's not Kickstarter, but you do talk about it every episode.
That's not true.
Nearly.
Not
and,
true.
And
nope.
Nearly
nope.
Everyone we talk
not
about games.
True. That's true.
And it's available for pre-order,
yep.
And
so,
we can't afford it right now.
So, Seafall is now available for pre-order on the Plaid Hat Games website. If you pre-order it now, you get... there's like a $40... edition, which is basically
with metal coins,
yeah, blinging out your board game
yeah.
that you get for free if you pre-order. So yeah. That's pretty awesome. Or you could go to Cool Stuff Inc. and pre-order it for $30 less, which you know also legit.
Yeah.
So that game is out there. We also ended up funding the expansion for Tesla versus Edison.
Yeah, that looks
which,
like it'll be interesting.
Tesla versus Edison is a really fun board game that kind of looks back at the war of currents, the DC versus AC between Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison. And it's got a little bit of a historical kind of interest to it. And
yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of other historical figures in the game, mm-hmm. all of whom are real, you know, real people who were really involved in the current war.
Yep. So, I mean, not really a family game, I guess, in the sense of playing with, you know, younger kids or anything like that, but...
It's very educational.
It is a very educational game. We've talked about it before on the show, so I don't want to belabor the point, I guess. But the expansion is currently on Kickstarter and destroying all of its stretch goals. So if you have the base game, you probably should kickstart the expansion. It's $25.
Yeah, so from what I've seen, it looks like the expansion gives you some more ways to play and balances it out a little bit further, a little bit less emphasis on the stock market. So.
Yep. A lot of the new characters in the expansion are female luminaries instead of all the dudes from... I mean, I think there was one female character in the first one, but...
That would be Ada Lovelace.
Yeah,
very important.
Yep. So a lot of the new ones are female to sort of balance that out a little bit. So that's kind of cool as well.
We also played some video games this week.
We did, yep.
I finally played Rocket League. It's been kind of in the back of my mind for a while, but I've been watching the children play and being like, this cannot possibly be as hard as you're making it look. Let me help you. And so, but I did, when I finally got to that point, it was about time to like make dinner and things. So I wasn't going to step in and start then, which was a wise choice because when I did sit down with you and start playing,
she is so bad.
I was just like, oh my goodness, this really is that hard.
She's so bad. I'm bad at Rocket League.
I didn't expect that I was going to be good. I'm better than the 5-year-old, and right now that's probably all that counts.
Yeah, I bet our 7-year-old.
I'm sure she could beat the rocket right off of me.
Oh, that was clever.
But you know what? And like after we played several games, I finally started to get the hang of it, and the last game we played, I scored a goal. It was the weakest, lamest goal ever, but
oh, man,
I scored
it was
one.
So pathetic.
So
it was
I felt
really
good about
terrible.
Myself.
It was bad. But yeah, so you know, another chalk up another game for everybody in the family to play. Instead of just me and still being terrible at it. Also,
even mom who stinks.
Yeah. So. also, more Ratchet and Clank. That game continues to be rock solid. Very good game. I can play it. It's a game that I like to play enough that I feel bad playing it when the kids aren't around because I know it's a game that I can play when the kids are around.
Yeah, but you know what? These days, they're generally taking over the TV, either playing Ratchet and Clank themselves. Or playing WarioWare.
Oh, yeah. Moves. Yeah. I don't know where this came from, but one day our 7-year-old decided that she was going to look through the old games, and she pulled out WarioWare Smooth Moves for the original Wii. This is a game. There were two WarioWare games. I think the first one was on GameCube. The second was on Wii. There's games out there like Mario Party, which a lot of people are familiar with, where you go around and you do these mini-games to get points or coins or whatever to affect the greater board game of Mario Party.
Right.
Well, WarioWare is actually based on micro games, not mini games. I mean, these are games that literally take 10 to 30 seconds. Yep. They're all based on fast twitch stuff. Sometimes
pretty much,
it'll kind of throw you in a game and it won't even really kind of tell you what to do. You have to figure it out on your own.
Generally the instructions are one word.
Yeah.
Like drink. Or push.
Or something. Right, exactly. And, of course, being a Wii game that's actually made by Nintendo, they actually do a good job of using the Wii remote in most cases.
For the most part, yeah.
But this, I was really, really curious how this game was going to work out with our kids.
Yes.
Because some of that stuff, your fast twitch reflexes have to be pretty good to do some of the things in this game. They have these different... they call them forms.
Yeah.
That are basically different ways to hold the Wii remote. And they have one called, like, the elephant. They have one called, you know, which is holding the Wii remote up to your nose. They have one called the waiter, which is holding it on your flat, outstretched hand. There's the remote control, which you can kind of imagine.
There's the umbrella, which means holding it straight up and down. Yep.
And so...
There's the pencil, which they want you to hold it pointing the TV, but shift your grip so it's more like you're drawing with it.
And so what, you know, these games are crazy, right? They're just nuts.
They're
sometimes
crazy.
It's, you know, you're trying to stick a finger in somebody's nose, or sometimes you're trying to shave someone's face, or sometimes you're trying to pick up an apple with the trunk of an elephant.
With the trunk of an elephant.
I mean, and it's just a ton of really just insane stuff. It's very Japanese in that regard. But both our 5-year-old and our 7-year-old really took to it extremely quickly. I was legitimately shocked at just how much, and they love it. I mean, the nice thing about it is that the penalties for losing are not that severe.
Yeah.
So you'll go around the map and you'll select a location, and you have to run through like 30 of these micro games in order to kind of complete the section.
Yeah. The penalties are not that severe in part because they've been playing it in single player mode. They've been taking turns playing single player. Multiplayer, the penalty for failing is basically, oh, you lose.
Well, okay.
But that's also what makes it a great party game, and it's, I looked back at it, you can play with like 12 or 16 mm-hmm. people.
Ton of people.
Because it's only ever one person at a time.
But I would honestly say, you know, if you've got a Wii kicking around the house and it's basically collecting dust, go to GameStop. I mean, this game can't be more than 10 or 15 bucks. Like, tops. Yeah. And, you know, pick that thing up, and it's just hysterical. It's just fun. You know, you'll be doing goofy stuff. It's a very good multi-generational game. I mean, they really did a lot of that stuff with the Nintendo Wii, and you know, also, we don't even have a Wii anymore. We have a Wii U, so it'll work with that anyway. So as long as you have a Wii remote, you can pick up a Wii game and play it through the Wii U.
According to the GameStop site, a used copy of it, which they would all be at this point, is going to set you back $15 if you don't have any rewards or anything else to use on it.
So, I mean, it's cheap, and I'm sure you could probably find it almost anywhere. So, that was a game that, shockingly, although it's probably literally
about 10 years old.
10 years old now.
Yeah.
The kids loved it. I mean, the graphics are terrible, but they're kind of, they fit. Like, they're not
they're,
great, and
they're
not
cartoony
supposed to
on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Funny game. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah. That's another one where I've been watching the kids play and be like, I want to step in and do it, but no, I'm going to step back. I'm going to let them do this on their own and not try to show them up too bad.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing a lot of games. We also saw some movies.
We did.
Some movies that are actually, like, new and people care about.
Yeah, we saw Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was.
I'm Team Cap.
I'm very slightly Team Cap. I'm kind of on the fence.
I was so set to boo you.
I see the wisdom in both sides.
Yeah. So this is a movie that you need to see. I don't want to talk about it. It's too early.
Yes, it's much too early.
Way too early.
We don't want to be those people who do spoilers.
Yeah. Although we did have a conversation, and this is relevant to the show, about our kids, 5 and 7, and when it's appropriate to show the Marvel movies to them.
Yes.
I have noticed that the last few have had a little bit more language in them, which I'm not super thrilled about, but it's pretty avoidable. So my first thought was that maybe in 5 years they'll have a Blu-ray box set of like the Phase 1 and Phase 2 Marvel movies, and they'll be nice and cheap, and I'll just buy those. And then, you know, when my kids are 15 and I want them out of my hair, I'll just be like, here, watch these 10, 12, 15 movies. So that's a possibility. But really, what you had suggested was using a service like ClearPlay or VidAngel or something like that to, you know, take out a couple of things. You know, maybe
I still wouldn't do it now because the themes overall are a little too mature for, say, a 5-year-old. But
it depends on the movie. I think it depends on the movie.
Sure.
But yeah, I agree with you. So, you know, those are something that we're kind of talking about and we're starting to work through in our brains when it's the right time to show those movies. I would be curious if you'd like to give us some feedback on your kids and when you made the decision to show the Marvel movies to your kids, if you have. When did you do that and why? You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/familygamersaa, and leave a comment on the show post or something like that, and let us know kind of what your thoughts were about that. Because I'd just be curious to know, because we haven't shown them to ours.
Yeah. And, well, on that same note, I ranted to you earlier. I'm going to rant again. That I saw this commercial.
She's so good at ranting, people. So good. So good.
I saw this commercial. It's a cute commercial for Target. It, you know, it's, and it's all these kids dressed up in various superhero outfits from Captain America Civil War. And, you know, and they're all chasing each other and playing tag, and it's a cute commercial, and they say, no matter whose side you're on, united we play. It's cute. It's great. Nothing wrong with the commercial itself, except that I hate that it feeds into this cycle we have now of taking intellectual property type things that are really only appropriate for adults or at least teenagers and turning around and marketing it to kids.
See, and I think that they're marketing them to the parents of kids.
I think they're marketing it to the parents of kids, but they're doing it and saying, go buy, you know, Marvel, Captain America, you know, Iron Man, you know, Black Widow, whatever, toys for your kids. Which I can see, but specifically using the, you know, the movie tie-in bugs me. Because kids the age that were in that commercial should not be seeing the movie yet.
Do you need, like, a support group? Do you need some counseling? Somebody wrote Captain America on your sidewalk?
Team Cap.
Anyway, the movie was awesome. We got to see it without our children, which is not a very Family Gamers thing to say, but it was awesome.
And you know what? We told our kids about it a little bit afterwards.
And we explained why we haven't
let our kids watch it. And we explained why they couldn't go see it. We also, in this discussion, we talked about various movies, and I said that our kids are not seeing Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3 until they are well into their teenage years.
Don't think there's any nudity in it, but I think it's strong sexual content.
Yeah, it's not even
I don't even think it's strong.
It's not it's nudity per se, but yeah. Some pretty heavy sexual content.
Yeah.
Because Tony Stark, before he gets together with Pepper Potts, is a jerk.
And after he gets to go with
a little bit less with her.
I do want to say, actually, on the topic of what's appropriate for kids and superheroes, what was the actual Spider-Man series that we were watching?
So what we're watching, it's called Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Don't show this to your young kids.
It's on Amazon, and I think it's dated 2003 or something like that. You'll recognize it if you start seeing it, because it's that late, like, 90s, early 2000s. Cel-shaded,
kind of
like
weird animation.
Pseudo 3D, probably computer animated, but it's kind of hard to tell. Like. Yeah. But don't show it to your kids, because literally the first episode was fine. Second episode, all these college kids who are Spider-Man's friends are hooking up with each other, and it's blatantly obvious, and yeah, there's language, like, all over the place.
I mean, it's not... Look. It's not super bad, but like...
But it's like PG-13.
Yeah, it very much is. And we showed it to our 5-year-old and 7-year-old, and we're like making faces at each other across the room, like, this is not going on our television again for a while.
Yeah.
So, just a warning, if your kids like Spider-Man, especially because Spider-Man and Captain America was freaking awesome.
Yes.
Especially if your kids like Spider-Man, that is a series to use a little bit of discretion and stay away from. Yeah. For now.
Wait until they're a little older.
So...
So that's your rant for the evening.
It's not really a rant. It's a caution. I'm just trying to let people know.
All right.
All right. Well, thus ends the Family Gamers variety show.
Well, you know, we had to fill up some time talking about superheroes.
So one of the other big reasons why we wanted to make sure we got a show out soon is because we do, in fact, still have a giveaway going on right now.
Yes, there's a little bit more time.
Did you know that there are over 50 entries?
I did know.
To our giveaway.
Because I looked right before we...
Oh, okay. Well, that's exciting. So I had bought for Anitra a custom dice bag made with the fabrics that I was able to choose.
A beautiful dice bag.
A custom-made dice bag from Acalia Arts.
He picked a Doctor Who theme, and yep. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
There are many
other themes.
She loves
it so much,
well.
It's sitting in her drawer, doing nothing.
Well, I have no use for it at the moment.
But you too could have your very own custom dice bag by Acalia Arts. I have worked with Laura at Acalia, and it is a custom commission. So if you win, you get to choose the fabrics. It's mm-hmm. not something that's already made. And she's got a lot of really cool stuff. There's some cool Star Wars stuff on there. Obviously the Doctor Who stuff. Yeah. She had some glow in the dark fabrics, like really, really neat stuff. And, yeah. extremely well-made bag. So if you are interested in winning that, you can check out the post for episode 20 at thefamilygamers.com.
Yes, and we will put another link in the show notes for this show to help you get over to where the giveaway is.
I also, you know what, I think, can we embed a Rafflecopter giveaway in a Facebook post?
Yes.
So we'll do that too.
Okay.
Just to get it like really out there and easy for people to see. So check that out. It's really nice, and free stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
Also, you should check out the Acalia Arts Facebook page. We will link to that as well, just so you can see that.
And if you enter the giveaway, just by visiting the Facebook page, our Facebook page, and the Acalia Art Facebook page, that will get you more entries.
Yep.
More chances to win.
More chances to win the awesomeness. So
I think that's our show.
That's going to be it for us this week. You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA. You can also find us, as we mentioned, on Facebook, facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA.
Do we have a website?
We do have a website. Our website is thefamilygamers.com.
And we have email.
You can get to us on email. You can get to Anitra at...
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
It's very original. Sort of like me, Andrew, at thefamilygamers.com.
That's right. And you can find us on iTunes.
Yes, please subscribe.
Find us on iTunes.
Well, subscribe to us anywhere, but especially on iTunes, because on iTunes, they have this thing with ratings and reviews, and it turns out that they're super important to get podcasts noticed, and the more downloads we get, the more free stuff that we can get that we can then turn around and give away to you, because I don't need a lot of free stuff in my house. I would rather...
No, we've been actively trying to get rid of free stuff.
Give it away to our listeners. And that makes everybody happy. Makes me happy. Makes them happy.
Yes.
It's a good time. So please leave us ratings and reviews on iTunes. That would really help us out. We might actually tie a giveaway to
iTunes reviews.
That might happen pretty soon as well. So keep your eyes out for that. But that's going to be it for us this week.
In the meantime...
Play games with your kids.